What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Babbles Nonsense podcast. Today, I'm going to share a very vulnerable, intimate story about my weight loss journey and some recent weight loss that people have commented on, and obviously my semaglutide experience. So if you've heard of this drug, it's all the rage right now, but I'm going to give you a little bit of a different take on it. I was very nervous to share this, but you know, it just had to be done. So if you're interested in my semaglutide story, which is also the generic name for Ozempic, you might know it by either of the names, then stay tuned and I will tell you all about it. So I'm just going to go ahead and start this episode out by saying that this is no way intended to give anyone medical advice or to tell you what you should tell your doctor or what you should do for yourself. This is just my experience and my experience alone. And I just want to go ahead and put that out there because everyone has different experiences with this medication or why they're taking this medication. And I want to share what was going on with me. So just wanted to get that out of the way. But I also was very nervous to share this because of all the negativity and the backlash surrounding this medication currently. It's been on almost every celebrity or reality TV podcast that I've listened to, and people have talked so negative about the drug. And I was nervous to share it because I was like, I don't want anyone to think of me negatively because I chose to take a medication. But we're going to dive into why. Okay. So last week I shared my story about my thyroid journey. So if you didn't listen to that episode, I'll do a quick recap in just a minute. But this week I definitely wanted to share like my weight story, if you will. My weight for some people, and I guess because I went to dinner with a friend last night, we were talking and people don't realize that I have struggled with weight, like weight loss, weight gain, because I'm quote unquote in a smaller body. But for me, I've always been relatively small. I've tried to stay healthy for the most part. I talked about that last week on the episode of how I kind of dove into my journey with nutrition and fitness and things like that. And yes, there was a moment in my life, like through college, where it was an unhealthy obsession. But with that being said, when I was 22, like last week, I talked on the podcast about developing an autoimmune disease with my thyroid, Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And for those of you who don't know, you know, much about the thyroid gland basically controls everything from your metabolism, hair growth, hormone production, insulin sensitivity, everything. And a lot of people who have one autoimmune disease typically develop three. They say they come in threes. So that's why they say it's very important to try to control the autoimmune aspect of it so that once the autoimmune portion is done, like let's say it kills off my thyroid, then it's obviously going to move to something else because I still have elevated antibodies where my body's attacking my own thyroid. So with that, since the thyroid controls the metabolism, like since I've had thyroid issues, I have had to be very strict on what I eat and how much I work out because everything is a balance. It's like a delicate balance. If I worked out more, I actually gained more weight. And no, it was not just muscle being put on. Some people are like, oh yeah, muscle weighs more than fat, which is true to a degree, but it's not in a sense of like quick weight gain and weight loss, if that makes sense. If y'all are hearing something in the background, that is my dog. She is acting psycho right now. She's playing with her little stuffed cow toy that my neighbor got her. But anyways, for years, I tried to do everything by healing or trying to quote unquote fix the situation that I was going through. I was trying every diet known to man. I was exercising less. I was exercising more. I was trying HIIT cardio, CrossFit, weight training, reading every nutrition book that I could read, working with fitness and nutrition coaches. I even worked with, you know, functional medicine doctors. And some things did help along the way. Like, don't get me wrong. But then most of the things that I tried did not. So you can imagine, like, if you're a lady, listen to this. I think I have predominantly females that listen to my podcast. Shout out to the males that listen. But as a female, we already are living in a society where weight stigma is a thing. It just is. Like, we have come a long way by the body positivity or the body neutrality movement and trying to have these discussions and try to, you know, rewire our brains from the 90s, you know, where everybody was supposed to be real thin. But at the end of the day, I think when you're already kind of wired that way or it's been imprinted on you, it's definitely something that you're going to struggle with your entire life. Or for me, that's how it is. So I do, it is something that I'm like, well, you know, this is something I'm going to have to deal with, and mentally, not just mentally deal with it, but it's like a physical aspect too. Like, sure, they tell you like you want to lose weight, then you have to do the right things. You have to eat clean. You have to eat healthy, you know, calories in, calories out, know your macros, work with coaches, work out, you know, build muscle. And that is all true. But for me, it's a little bit different. You know, and anyone out there struggling with thyroid problems can attest to this, or they know the frustration, because you're not quote unquote unhealthy. Like, that's what's hard when people get diagnosed with thyroid problems, is it's very just internal and how you're feeling. But from the outside to other people, you look very healthy, and they're like, oh, it's just thyroid. Like, you can take medication for that. And sure, you can. That is absolute truth. But for me, I have had these weird things going on metabolically with me, which, like I said earlier, with the thyroid controls. And for me, in my situation, you know, I've had weird thyroid function. Like, I don't convert my inactive form of thyroid to the active form. And everything that's going on with me and my body is very intracellular, and we don't have computers to test or draw labs for intracellular function currently. We have testing for serum, where I can know, you know, is the thyroid functioning in my blood? And we do, but we don't know past that point what's going on. So I've been put on, you know, high doses of thyroid medication. I don't absorb medication for whatever reason. We haven't figured that out either, because I'm not celiac, because I've been tested for that. Usually when you don't absorb nutrients, like the foods and stuff that you're eating, you can have celiac disease from gluten. So my hematologist, because I have to get iron transfusions because I don't absorb iron very well, has always told me, like, I don't care what these tests say. I think this is something you definitely have. Or here's an idea that no one's thought of. Maybe I have some weird, funky thing that no one knows yet. Like, anybody who's ever been diagnosed with something, someone had to be the first person, right? But regardless, you know, I did all the things to quote unquote say try to fix the situation or do what was right. But 2 years ago, I was actually diagnosed with prediabetes despite eating very clean. Like, any of my friends, or if you know me, can attest to this. Like, I eat 90% clean, 10% unhealthy. And me and my doctor, when we looked at these labs, we're like, what in the hell? But my weight was constantly up and down, up and down, up and down. And I didn't really feel quote unquote normal. Like, most of the time in college, you know, you can go out with friends, you can have some drinks, you can, you know, eat out. But for me, when I ate out one time, let's say one time, once a month, it was like I rapidly gained weight. And I'm not talking about just water retention from increased sodium or carbs that night. I'm talking about like serious, like, here's 5 pounds and it's going to take a month to come off, which made me really afraid of eating out or eating poorly. I was like, nah, I guess this is just how I have to live. Like, I have to become super healthy. It's not that I 1000% all the time love it. Like, sure, I would love to go out to dinner with my friends and not think anything of it. But it's just how it was. So 2 years ago, my doctor was like, cause I had gained 25 pounds again, despite eating clean, working out, my thyroid tests keep coming back normal. I was taking my medication. I'm very compliant. So my doctor was like, you know, you've gained the weight. I can tell you're uncomfortable in your own skin, which, caveat here, yes, I think the highest I weighed was 155 pounds. Like, I do not care to share numbers with people. If you know me, then you know my heart and my soul. And I'm not a person who is fixated on a number on the scale. I don't care. I just care how I feel. I care, like, how my clothes are fitting, things like that, which I was very inflamed at the time. I saw it in my face. You know, people make comments that I had gained weight, despite eating out, or sorry, not eating out, but working out and things like that. And people would be like, oh, but it's just muscle. And I'd be like, no, it's not. Anyways, 25 pounds of weight on anybody's body, I don't care what size you are. If you're 80 pounds and you get up to 110, that's uncomfortable for that person. If you're 120 pounds and you get up to 150 pounds, that is uncomfortable for that person. And if you're 300 pounds and you gain 25 pounds, that is uncomfortable for that person. So let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. Because when people, it really does bother me when people are like, but you're already small, you shouldn't complain. And I get that. Like, there are worsening weight gains and things like that, but everyone's feelings are valid, and 25 pounds on anyone's body is 25 pounds on their body. So my doctor suggested at the time, she was like, look, do you want to try Ozempic? We have a coupon for it. You can try it for 6 months. We can see what happens. And I was very hesitant at first because, number one, there isn't a lot of research on like just short-term use of it. Like, what's the long-term effects going to happen? Like, am I going to then become dependent on this medication? Is it going to shut down hormone production? Like, we don't know because it's a relatively new drug. And I was like, what if I, you know, what if this works? Financially, it isn't sustainable. I can't pay for this once the coupon's not working. And there was also the aspect of feeling guilty because of the negativity surrounding the medication. And at the time, at the initial point, it was because I had gained 25 pounds and I was doing everything I could to get it off and it just wasn't budging. And all the thoughts surrounding the medications were totally valid, right? Because quick and fast results aren't sustainable, and I know that. And I'm not looking for a quick and fast and easy way to lose weight. I'm just at the point of being annoyed with my body because I couldn't manipulate it anymore. Like, most people can be like, you know, my diet hasn't been the best. Let me clean that up. Let me go back to the gym. I haven't been. And then, you know, the weight comes off. Well, for me, I was doing all that and it wasn't working. So I knew the quick and fast results weren't sustainable, and that's not what I was looking for. I was just like, okay, I'm at this point, I'm desperate. I'm willing to try anything. And so to no avail, I tried the Ozempic. And yeah, I did lose the weight. And honestly, I lost too much weight, so we backed off. But the most amazing thing, or what we didn't expect to find, was that during those 6 months of taking the medication, my hormones, like my estrogen, progesterone, testosterone that I talked about on last episodes, all came up to normal. And my thyroid labs all returned to normal, and we had to decrease my thyroid medication. And we were like, that's very interesting. So we put you on it for the weight loss because of, you know, you gaining the weight. But interestingly enough, we're actually fixing the root cause of your problem, which is you have no hormones, which is basically perimenopausal. And then you're also having, you know, thyroid issues where you don't absorb your medicine. So we have you on high doses of thyroid medicine. But now with this medication, because it slows your gastric motility, it's like my medication was able to sit in my stomach maybe a little bit longer. So I was absorbing my medication better and I had to decrease my medication. So we were just like, oh, wow, that's very interesting. So like I said, I lost too much weight, which was not the goal. And so I stopped taking the medication for a few months. And of course, the weight came back, which there's a lot of research out there on it that when you stop the medication, the weight can come back, obviously. Maybe 6 months later, the new medication Mounjaro, which is the tirzepatide, came out. So there was a coupon for that. She was like, let's put you back on this, but we'll do every other week. We'll put you at a maintenance dose. We don't want you losing any more weight, but the benefits of your hormone and thyroid production are so good, I think we should put you on it. So put me on it for a year, very low dose, take it every other week. And I have not lost any more weight. I don't want to lose any more weight. And again, my hormones and thyroids are normal. Every time we have tried to come off of it, my hormones and thyroid go back to not functioning appropriately. And then my glucose, my sugars are all over the place. And I know that because over the last month, you know, we've been trying to wean off the medication, which is something I'm going to talk about in just a minute. And we wanted to try to see if, you know, me working with a new functional coach, and weaning off the medication, it what my glucose would do, because like I said at the beginning of this, I was pre-diabetic, which we were just like, what the hell, you know, I eat so clean, how is this possible? But pre-diabetes doesn't necessarily mean like what you're eating. It's glucose spikes, right? So carbs or sugar, which I don't eat a lot of sugar, but I do eat high carbs, but not processed carbs. I eat whole like rice and sweet potatoes and carrots and things like that, which yes, should cause a glucose spike. But in me, it's causing very large spikes, which I know that because over the last month I was wearing a continuous glucose monitor. I'm actually still wearing it because we were very curious to see what my glucose was doing, since prior to taking the Ozempic the first time, I was considered quote unquote pre-diabetic despite eating clean and whatnot. So as we're weaning off the medication, as it's coming out of my system, as I'm wearing the continuous glucose monitor, like my fasting glucose is staying in the pre-diabetic range. So most people, or you should, if your body's functioning appropriately, your fasting glucose should be under 100 when you wake up in the morning. Mine has been running anywhere from 105 to 115, which is the pre-diabetic range for fasting glucose, which is interesting because we were all very confused at that initial blood work the first time, because all my glucose has always come back normal when I'm fasting. So how you check for prediabetes and things like that is a hemoglobin A1C. It measures your glucose trend over the past 3 months. And I didn't always go get a fasting glucose except at the time of my hemoglobin A1C, which was normal that day. Now wearing the monitor, like after I eat, it spikes up so large, and then I get refractory hypoglycemia, which means that it spikes so high and then it drops so low because my body's overestimating putting out insulin. And when that happens, when you have refractory hypoglycemia and your sugar drops low, your body is then telling you that you're hungry to eat more because your sugar's low. So then you get hungry, then you eat more. So then it creates this vicious cycle, if you will. I'm not versed on diabetes, but that's a little bit that I know. So trying to mitigate the glucose spikes, I've read recently, like The Glucose Goddess, she wrote a book, amazing book, recommend it to anyone. I think I talked about it on one of my previous podcasts, but she kind of tells you ways to mitigate glucose spikes after you eat. Like you can drink like a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar and water prior to eating green vegetables prior to eating, fiber. And then after you eat, going for a 10-minute walk or a 10-minute movement just to get your muscles moving to absorb the glucose that you just ate. You can take supplements such as cinnamon, berberine, things like that, that are supposed to be naturally glucose lowering drugs, which, trust me, been trying everything and it's not mitigating the spikes. So we're still trying to figure all that out and why I have this metabolic dysfunction, other than, you know, it is proven that people with thyroid issues have trouble controlling their insulin and they become insulin resistant due to that, just because your insulin production is driven by the thyroid. So if the thyroid isn't functioning well, then therefore the insulin wouldn't be either. So that makes sense, but we're still just trying to figure out, like, all in all, why it's happening and why my health has been taking a hit. But I think we're on the right track to figuring it out. And who knows, I may eventually have to go back on the medication, but for me, it's not for weight loss. It's for managing my metabolic health, my thyroid hormones, and my hormone production. There's still a lot of unknown about the medication, such as the long-term side effects or efficacy, and everyone has their own reason why of taking the medication. And yes, initially mine was wanting the weight loss, but I didn't want it to negate what I was already doing. I didn't want it to negate the fact that I was putting in a lot of effort at the gym. I was putting in a lot of effort with my nutrition and you know, dietary needs. So this was something where I felt like it was kind of my last stop shop, if you will. And I know we're all guilty of looking at someone nowadays, and if they've lost a lot of weight, we automatically assume they're on this medication without, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt or saying like, hey, they really are trying. They're not just using this as a quick fix. And that's not what I was doing either. And that's one of the reasons why I was really hesitant to put this podcast out, because I still go to the gym. I love the gym. I love learning about nutrition. None of that has changed. The only difference is like I'm struggling with metabolic health, and that's just what it is. And I have to accept it at some point, you know? And yes, initially, like I said, mine was initially for weight loss, but then that's not what it was about anymore. It was about like, oh, wow, like look at what's happening. But everyone has to have their own reasoning. They have to weigh their own pros and cons, their own risk versus benefit analysis to know if this drug is right for you. I'm not here to judge anyone. I have my own experience with it. And initially, I was probably part of the crowd that was like, everyone's just looking for a quick fix. But sometimes there are things going on in your body that you may not be aware of because you don't quote unquote feel bad or you don't quote unquote look unhealthy, but there are things. So for me, and this is what I've told all my friends that, you know, have asked me about this, you know, I'm not telling people about it. It's just, I didn't get on a platform and shout it from the rooftops until now. But what I tell my friends when they're thinking about getting on this medication and what I recommend for anyone thinking about it is talk with your doctor. Get labs done first because there might be something metabolically going on that you probably could fix without medication. And if you can't fix it without medication, then turning to medication, there's no shame in that game. But just knowing what's going on in your body first, I think is a huge game changer. And then also having a game plan for changing your behavior and mindset like around food. Because if you're already eating unhealthy and you go on the shots just to lose weight, when you come off of them and you haven't changed your, you know, your eating patterns, your mindset around food, then, you know, the weight's just going to come back. And sometimes it may come back more. That's what they're saying. If you haven't changed, you know, your eating patterns. Also, while taking the medication, I have found that some people don't have an appetite. I'm on a very low dose every other week, so my appetite is still there. And I definitely work with a nutrition coach. I meet all my macros for the day, most of the time go over. But making sure you're still eating protein and adequate calories, because what this drug can do is it can make you feel very satiated, meaning you don't want to eat. And when you're lowering your calories to 500 calories a day, of course you're going to lose weight, but what you're doing is you are wreaking havoc on your metabolism. And when you come off the medication, let's say then you eat 1,000 calories, which is still very low, you're still eating at a 500 calorie surplus. And that's something I know from nutrition coaching and what happens when people, as female in general, under eat. And why you really need to work with a coach. And I talked about that on last week's podcast. If you've under ate for so long and now your metabolism is kind of slower than it should be, then you can reverse diet that up, fix your metabolism before you diet, because not everyone is ready for a diet phase. And then when you're coming off the medication, you really need to be working with your doctor on this and talk about a weaning process and not stopping the drug abruptly. Because the first time when I had taken it for 6 months and then came off of it for 6 months, we did stop it abruptly. And when I tell you, like, holy hell, the cravings from hell came and I wanted to eat everything in my house and more, that's what I've noticed happens versus the weaning process of weaning you off the medication. But yeah, so that's all I have. I'll keep you guys updated along the way on my journey. And if anyone has anything negative to say about my experience, well, you can just keep it to yourself, because I was very scared to share this because I don't want anyone judging me for, you know, using something for weight loss, but in turns actually fixing my health. And that's what's the most important to me at this moment, is just fixing my health and not having to take, you know, hormones if I don't have to, and just staying on my thyroid medication, but at a lower dose if possible, and go from there and hopefully be able to wean off this medication, work with the functional coach. Hopefully, you know, everything is fixed now. Maybe we'll see. Like I said, I'll keep you updated, but that's all I have for you. And I hope you have a different outlook. Don't judge people for what they're doing. You never know what they're going through with their health. You never know what the behind the scenes are. But yeah, so that's all I have for you guys. Until next time, bye.